Good morning. Welcome. It is Hardline here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Yes, I apologize for the voice. Still falling out from last night at Highmark Stadium. What a game. And I know it makes it difficult to talk politics this morning, as I put on Twitter. I'm not really in the best mood to talk politics. However, it's Hardline. I promised you an informative show every week, and an informative show is what I'm going to give you. Our lineup today is State Senator Sean Ryan. We will have a check-in with the National Weather Service about tomorrow's storm. Tim Thielman joins us at 11, and Stephen Sams, a man who is running against Brian Higgins, will join us at 11:30. Don't worry, next week or the week after, we will have Congressman Brian Higgins back on Hardline. But our first guest is State Senator Sean Ryan. Senator, good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
Doing well. How are you doing after that big game yesterday?
Oh, I'm telling you, I haven't been so happy about the Bills in a long time. They pitched a shutout last night. Seven drives, seven touchdowns. Amazing.
I'll tell you, it's a different feeling than after that first game last year where they just squeaked by the Colts. It's a completely different feeling going into next week.
Yeah, it's really amazing. I watched the game from a relative's warm living room, but I had several cousins who came in from out of town, and I sent them off to the game yesterday, and they looked like they were going on a polar expedition. They had layers upon layers, but it was really cool.
I'll tell you, it was worth every layer. I went six to nine layers and a bunch of hand warmers, but nothing beats being in that building yesterday. Now, State Senator, I am under the impression, I was told that you had a bet with a Massachusetts senator on last night's game. Looks like you'll be getting some good food going your way.
I did. We won big. You know, we had a lot on the line there. We had sponge candy. We had Weber's mustard. But we pulled it off, and so this week, compliments of State Senator Paul Feeney from Foxborough, a fire hall in Orchard Park, was going to be getting a nice delivery of food from the Foxborough area. So happy about that.
That is awesome, and I know they'll enjoy that. Now, we're talking to Tim Thielman at 11 about the Great Northern Grain Elevator. This is something that you have made a few comments on. You've been right in front of the grain elevator. Why do you feel this is something important to save here in Buffalo?
Well, it's a historic industrial building. It's the last building of its kind in North America, and it really shows our legacy. That grain elevator, you know, fed the world. It tells the whole story of every grain elevator that came after it. And it's just amazing that, you know, the city allowed your Archers, Daniel, or Midland, a billion-dollar company, to not maintain that grain elevator. I mean, our citizens get cited all the time for having a leaky downspout or peeling paint or a chimney with bad mortar in it. But that thing just rotted in plain sight. And boy, did we have a corporation that could have maintained it.
Would you like to see the city take over that building? Would you like to see someone come in and buy it from ADM? What's the next step after saving it from demolition?
You know, there's option after option, but those options only work if, in fact, the building is there. And, you know, we came a hair's breadth away from that building disappearing forever. And we've had those mistakes in the past in Buffalo. I mean, the Larkin Industrial Complex was knocked down to, you know, make progress, but that still is just an empty, parking lot, you know, and it's awful. And, you know, less importance, but, you know, the Harbor Inn that Palladino knocked down in the 90s, beautiful bar, restaurant, you know, would have been hopping today. And it just sits as a vacant lot. So we have a lot of value, and a lot of state money has been pumped into Western New York through the historic tax credit. Richardson Complex, Shays, Buffalo Theater, Lafayette Hotel, you know, the list goes on and on. And it's just amazing that while that's happening and we're being recognized nationally for our historic architecture, you know, the city's issuing demolition permits to essentially anyone who wants one. So this has really shined a light on some bad practices. And now here's the crazy thing, Joe. You know, you always hear about, oh, is this good for the business community and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, we got, you know, helping to backstop this whole deal is Doug Jamal. And, you know, he is a old-fashioned developer, and he looks and scratches his head at why we would be not getting any of this stuff down to Buffalo. You know, he's a Washington, D.C. guy, but he said, this is what makes Buffalo cool. And without it, you know, what do you really got? Just sort of a boring place like any other city. But he said Buffalo has these treasures that we just don't even realize. So happy to be working with him on this project.
Have you been in any kind of contact with ADM? Have you spoken with anyone from ADM throughout all this?
You got better luck talking to like a Spectrum customer service rep than you do getting a hold of anyone from ADM. You know, they've really been hiding on this. They don't really even have a government affairs person in New York State. So they are trying to hide as long as they can. And, you know, their corporate goal is to demolish this building and then just do nothing with the site. So ADM, they're going to have to come out of hiding sooner or later.
Now, also happening this week in Albany, and I'd like to get your take on this, is that the eviction moratorium is going to expire or has expired. What are your thoughts on that, and what is your message to those that might still be struggling to pay their rent?
Well, it's a tough issue, right? We maintain the moratorium in New York State longer than I think any other state in the union, but New Mexico. So we know there's a backlog, but we've also watched other states' moratoriums have expired, and none of the projected deluge of evictions happened. Now, we don't know why. You know, we think that people worked out deals, you know, with their landlords. A lot of these matters are just settled, and they never go to court, or if they did go to court. So, you know, the national people who look at this are scratching their head, but they haven't seen a deluge. But we know we have a problem, right? So we have people who definitely can't pay the rent. But then in places like Buffalo, you know, we have small landlords. I mean, it's so common for people from all walks of life to own a double or two. But they use that rental payment to pay their mortgage. And I've heard story after story about, you know, people taking their, you know, their salaries to pay their mortgages with. And, you know, they're really hurting. So we're hoping between the, you know, the state's programs that we put together to help landlords and tenants, that it'll make it so there is, you know, no big deluge of evictions. And we're going to keep an eye on it. And if there becomes a huge crisis, you know, we can step in again. But right now, we think the facts indicate that we can let this expire and not have a massive problem going forward. But we're going to keep an eye on it.
And for some of those landlords that, you know, have had some issues over the past few months or the last year, what are those programs? How can they get in touch with the state to get some help for maybe a tenant that hasn't been paying?
Yeah, I mean, the landlords groups in Western New York, they're coordinating this year, and they're working together, and that's good. And, you know, they have their own public affairs person, so they're familiar with the, we call the ERAP program that we set up using the American Rescue Plan funds. Over 100,000 New Yorkers are on the verge of losing their apartments or homes, have used that. And then we set up another fund just for landlords who had tenants, you know, who wouldn't fill applications out. So we had another fund from that. And then also part of this moratorium was moratorium on foreclosures too. So people who couldn't make their mortgages didn't lose their house. But we see, you know, the economy's, you know, changing. There's more jobs than there were a year or so ago. So, you know, I would hazard to say we're keeping our fingers crossed, but, you know, we're keeping our fingers crossed, and we're keeping a close eye on this.
Now, that also obviously all came from COVID. COVID still something that, you know, is on top of everyone's mind. What do you think of the current strategy the state has with COVID-19 and the messaging out there at this point in the pandemic?
You know, we thought we were in good shape, right? And heading into Christmas, Western New York had their own problems with the higher than the rest of the state rates. But then Omicron came and it really changed the rules. So we are keeping, once again, a close eye. We changed some of our school policies. So no longer are school kids coming out for contacts West New York superintendents really work closely together, and they really help drive a statewide policy of test and stay. So, but, you know, once again, this is doing science sort of in real time. So the things that we put together last week, you know, we just got to keep watching them to see if they hold, because Alpha is different than Delta, and Delta is different than Omicron. But we know that Omicron is going so fast through the population that, you know, just, you know, one of my neighborhood bar restaurants, you know, they were closed between Christmas and New Year's because they had an outbreak throughout their whole staff. Everyone was sick. They couldn't get people to work. I'm talking to a lot of local employers are experiencing the same thing. So a lot of people are sick. It's spreading through. We're watching our hospitals and our ICUs to see what capacities are. But, you know, we still have people in our community. You know, it's sad because we want to be over it, right? But right now there's people sitting in ICUs in Western New York, and there's people dying. So, you know, to those families, you know, we put out our condolences. But I feel especially bad for the folks who have relatives who are really sick now, because, you know, the messaging and all is this is, you know, a lot less worse than the other variants. But if you're someone in the ICU, you know, that message isn't helping you at all.
Speaking of the hospitalization numbers, were you surprised here in Western New York? I know it's different throughout the state, but here in Western New York, to see of COVID hospitalizations, 39% were there for something else other than COVID. Were you surprised by that number? And again, not to take away from those that are in the ICU, those that are there for COVID. I'm not trying to take that away. I'm just, what was your reaction when you saw those numbers out of Western New York?
That's not a, you know, it's not a different number. I mean, people get sick during COVID, people still have, you know, heart attacks, car accidents, and, you know, other things going on. So, you know, throughout the pandemic, there were healthcare workers were always fighting the pandemic. But at the same time, if somebody who has a heart attack, you know, they get transported right to that same ER and the same ICU. So the hospitals are really doing double duties, right? They're doing what they usually do. And then on top of that, you have the pandemic going on. So, you know, they're stretched thin. You know, and talk about people who are stretched thin. Then, you know, this is 2 years now for people working in healthcare. And, you know, if you talk to anyone who works in a hospital system, you know, a nurse, or it's just tremendously fatiguing. Like, it's, you know, for them, it's not going away. You know, it keeps coming. And, you know, that's a lot of Western New Yorkers who are going to work every day, putting themselves in the position of having to treat people who have COVID, but also put themselves at a risk. So, you know, hats off to the healthcare providers, that's for sure.
I'm interested in your take on this. You know, I've been very vocal about the messaging around the vaccine. And as we have seen now with the Omicron, as you mentioned, I mean, it is spreading. You know, a lot of doctors say that everyone's going to come in contact with Omicron. And a lot of people will be infected. But if you're vaccinated, you know, your chance of a severe illness is lessened. Do you think that should have been the messaging from the beginning here in New York State, that if you get vaccinated, you might still get COVID, but it will be at the most a mild case of COVID?
I think that has been the message the whole time, is that the vaccine can help prevent you from getting it. And then if you do get it, your case will be a lot less extreme. But I don't know if you've heard this, but there's also a lot of disinformation about vaccines out there. And so, you know, we have really low rates of vaccinations in the counties surrounding Erie County. And we're seeing what's happening. People are getting really, really sick. So a lot of counter messaging going on. But one thing is for sure, you're a lot safer going out into the world if you've got your three vaccines. And I know a lot of people, for whatever reason, they're rolling the dice on this. But those are the ones who are getting severely ill, and those are the ones who are filling up you know, the ICU. And it's the hardest ever to message on this issue. You know, because, Joe, you hear what your family doctor says, and you go to a podcast or you turn on the radio, and you hear people saying, you know, that the whole thing is a scam and there is no such thing as COVID, or, you know, vaccines give you all these health problems. You don't have to go further than Joe Rogan, who educates, air quotes, educates millions of Americans a day, and it's, full of information that's not true. So, I recently went for my yearly physical and talked to my doctor, and he just said it's never been so tough talking to patients, because patients come in thinking they know more than the doctors, because they're doing their own research by reading websites that are full of bad information.
Now, last week we had State Senator Rob Ort on, and he said his plans and what the Republicans' plans are for New York State this year in 2022. I'm glad to have you on to ask you what are the Democrats in New York? What is their outlook for the year 2022 for the party and their plan for the state?
So we all have our plans, but one thing for sure is, as much as we don't want it to be, COVID has to be the number one issue that we're dealing with. We got to keep it under control. People need to get their boosters. We need to keep people safe. If we want the economy back on track, if you want your life back on track, we need to get shots in the arms, especially in Cattaraugus County, Allegheny County, Chautauqua County, much lower, vaccine rate. So, but in the absence of COVID, there's a plan to expand broadband in New York State. We all know that before the pandemic, having bad internet was sort of a pain. But then when you started to do schooling at home, telemedicine at home, all sorts of things at home, you realized, holy cow, substandard internet really affects you. So we passed a law last year that's mandating the Public Service Commission to do a complete map of New York State. That'll be out early spring. And then with some of the federal stimulus money, we're going to be able to build out to areas of New York that don't have it, but then also look at the areas of New York State who do have it, but have a lot of people who aren't connected. And that has a lot to do with, how Spectrum manages its business for us in Western New York, but there's other Spectrum types throughout New York State. So we make to make sure there's rules around internet. And then SUNY is, I'm so happy to hear Governor Hochul talking about SUNY in her State of the State. We all know that SUNY is where the middle class was born, but it's really suffered the last 10 to 20 years from New York State's austerity. The last three governors have really looked at SUNY as an economic liability as opposed to an economic engine. So we need to take a comprehensive look at SUNY, decentralize it a bit, create a better governing structure, and Governor Hochul's talking about creating two flagship SUNY campuses, one at the University of Buffalo and one at the other end of the state at Stony Brook. So I think there's a lot of work that we can do with SUNY. And then the other issue, Joe, it's an issue we've been talking about in New York, in Western New York for a long time, but trying to reduce some of the negative impacts of the bad highway systems we built. So we've got, the 190 cutting off the river. We've got the Skyway. And then we've got the Kensington and the Skagitwa, both which are just, it's like someone took a sword and slashed Buffalo with it. So there's plans to, help fix the Kensington and help make the Kensington and the Skagitwa work together more. And there's big planning around all those things. So a lot going on, a lot of good stuff. And we look forward to having the most productive year we can under these circumstances.
And that last thing you mentioned with the 198, the 33, all those roads, that is a show I'd like to do in the future with you and Congressman Higgins. So hopefully we can make that work. State Senator Sean Ryan, the first guest after the big Bills win. Thanks for joining me on a Sunday morning, and we'll talk soon.
All right, stay warm, my friend.
Yes, you too. That is State Senator Sean Ryan joining us. When we come back, there is a storm on the way to Western New York, and we have the National Weather Service to get you updated. I know a lot of you are off work tomorrow. So for a lot of you, you're like, hey, I get to sit in, I get to make my coffee, and I can watch the storm from my window. But there are some of us, like myself, who have to work tomorrow, like Josh, who's here for 24 straight hours. Well, we have to work tomorrow, and we'd like to know what the weather's going to be like. So when we come back, we have an update from the National Weather Service, and then we're going to play back an interview from earlier in the week talking about the mess that international travel has been for some people and may have canceled a few trips, like for yours truly, here on Hardline on WBEN. Welcome back to Hardline here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Happy Sunday. Go Bills. If you're just joining us, I apologize about the voice. Yelled a little bit at the stadium yesterday and, you know, still trying to thaw out. But we have a storm on the way, and that is what we want to let you know. I know a lot of you are off of work tomorrow. Good for you. You get to sit at home. You don't have to worry about this. But for people like myself, we do have to travel in it, and Dave Thomas is here to help us get through it. Dave, good morning.
Good morning.
Before we get into what happened, what's going to happen tonight and tomorrow, can you tell us how cold it got at the stadium last night?
We were looking at single-digit temperatures, the low single-digit temperatures throughout the evening hours last night.
Yeah, it was cold. No exposed skin for those at the stadium. Now, turn it around to tonight. Calling for 1 to 2 feet of snow in western New York. Where are we going to see the most impacted areas?
Yes, the most impacted areas are going to be everywhere. This is a widespread snow event that's going to be arriving here this evening and spreading across all of western New York throughout the overnight hours. And by the time we wake up tomorrow, we'll be looking at somewhere closing in on a foot of snow and counting.
And by tomorrow, what time tomorrow morning will we be at the foot measure?
We'll be looking at a foot of snow here, waking up early Monday morning. The heaviest snow is actually going to be from about 9 p.m. this evening through about 9 a.m. on Monday. And that's where in the time frame that most areas will be seeing their snow depth increase to around a foot and only going up from there.
So 9 to 9, the heaviest. How much snow are we expecting after 9 a.m. tomorrow, and when do we expect this storm to finally stop?
Yeah, after 9 o'clock morning, we'll still see another half foot of snow to even a foot. The foot would be reserved for areas such as the Chautauqua Ridge and the southern Lake Ontario shoreline, where the event will actually transition to more of a lake effect snow event, with snow becoming much more fluffier and adding up.
Now, you know, a few weeks ago we had a storm, and it got here about 10 to 12 hours late. Is that a possibility with this storm, or are we pretty sure this thing is coming and it's starting tonight?
This storm, we are certain, is going to be coming. It's a whole different beast. The last event was a lake effect event. This is widespread. We can already see it on radar. It's actually just south of the Mason-Dixon line here this late Sunday morning, and snow is pushing northward. And it will be arriving here this evening and right through the overnight hours.
Dave, you know, so we get this storm, right, tomorrow. Now, later in the week, are we going to see temperatures that will melt this snow, or are we going to be staying below 32 for this week?
We're going to be seeing temperatures on Wednesday go a couple degrees above the freezing mark, but there's going to be a really strong cold front again Wednesday afternoon and evening that's going to send us right back into the freezer. And we'll be stuck in this freezer here for the better part of the month.
I got another question about tonight into tomorrow. Will there be any? Will this be a wind event as well? Are we going to see the wind gusts get up there?
The winds aren't going to be much of a concern at the onset through early Monday. Just looking for light winds, so not too much blowing and drifting for the snow. But by Monday afternoon, and especially Monday evening, the winds could be gusting as high as 45 miles an hour. This will be from the northwest, which will create a lot of blowing and drifting snow and also reduce visibilities.
I was going to say, you say that we're going to see light, fluffy snow, so that will be easy to pick up with that wind.
Yes. Yes, especially along the southern shore of Lake Ontario and towards ski country in the southern tier Monday evening.
So the message is, Dave, if you are listening to my voice right now, you are not getting out of the storm. It is coming for you.
Yes, the storm is arriving.
All right, and now I have a question. Do you have to work tomorrow?
I will be working tomorrow.
So you'll be working during the storm, Dave. I'm sure we'll be talking with you then. I appreciate you joining me on Sunday, and stay safe.
Thanks, you too.
That is Dave Thomas from the National Weather Service. Yes, there is a storm on the way here in western New York, and as he said, if you are listening to my voice, you're going to get snow. You wake up tomorrow morning, there could be a foot of snow on the ground. And then, did you catch what he said after that? There could be a foot of snow on the ground before 9 a.m. And then he casually threw in there, oh, another foot could be there after 9 a.m. So we're looking at a potential of 2 feet of snow, and there will be places listening to my voice right now where there will be 2 feet of snow by tomorrow night. So if you have to get out of the house, if you have to go somewhere tomorrow, give yourself plenty of time. For example, I'm in for Tom Bowerly tomorrow. That's after 9 a.m. So we could have over a foot of snow here in Amherst when I drive into work tomorrow to fill in for Tom Bowerly. So just give yourself plenty of time. Don't do anything stupid. We know how to drive in this, right? You always see people end up in a ditch. You always hear about the accidents. I don't want to hear Alan Harris telling us about an accident because of snow tomorrow. So make sure you stay safe, right? You've got everything on that checklist. Fill up your gas tank now. If you're in the car, if you're coming home from church, fill up the tank now. You don't want it to be halftime of the Kansas City-Pittsburgh game tonight, and we're already seeing snow, and you think to yourself, my empty light came on this afternoon. Fill up the car now. Take all precautions. And you heard Dave say, and he wouldn't lie to us, you heard Dave say, this isn't going to be like the last storm. It's not going to change the time it arrives. It is coming. It'll be here at 7 o'clock. All right, this isn't going to go away or slow down and come 12 hours late. It's coming tonight, all through tomorrow. So just prepare yourself. Stay safe. If you don't have to go somewhere, which a lot of you don't tomorrow, don't go anywhere. Stay home. My gosh, I would love a day just to stay home, watch TV. There's a game tomorrow night, don't forget. Right? The playoffs on Monday night. So just enjoy yourselves. And again, get that stuff. I always say, make sure there's a few goodies in the freezer that you can throw in an air fryer or in the oven, right? And then you're all prepared. So take the precautions you need to take. Get ready. This storm is coming. All right. It is Hardline on WBEM. We're going to do something a little different here. We're going to take a break now. And when we come back, we're going to play a little bit of Brian Mazurowski and I's interview with Stephen Marshall from Glennie Travel, talking about international travel. We'll play a little clip of that when we come back. But don't leave us. At 11 o'clock, Tim Thielman is joining us. And at 11:30, Stephen Sams, he is running against Brian Higgins in the 26th Congressional District. He will join us at 11:30 to talk about his campaign and why he thinks it's time for new representation in District 26. A lot more to come here on Hardline. Thank you so much for taking some time to join me here on Sunday on WBEN. Welcome back. Hardline here on News Radio 930 WBEN. I'll tell you, you know, the Bills win yesterday. You would think people on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board would be in a better mood. But, like the last text. So at 2 o'clock tomorrow, I'll be listening to another station. So, a lot of positivity on the you know, a lot of people during the first segment made great points on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. But I say I'm in for Tom tomorrow, and this person decides that, hey, I got to make sure I'm listening. Thank you. Now I know this random person whose number I don't know will be listening to another station tomorrow at 2. But if you would like to listen, if you're going to be around, if you actually have to work tomorrow, I will be in for Tom Bowerly 2 to 6 here on WBEN. Lots to talk about. And maybe even some comments on our first interview of Hardline at 10 o'clock. We'll see. Lots to talk about tomorrow, starting at 2 o'clock. David's here at 10, and Brian will be solo for BMAZ and Beamer, and also for A New Morning. So you're close to your regular lineup. You just have to put up with me at 2 o'clock, but Tom will be returning on Tuesday. All right, as I mentioned, it has been a tough time for some people trying to go internationally, to internationally travel. Why? Well, to get back into your home country here, the United States of America, you have to take a COVID test. And you could feel great, not sick at all, but we're hearing of people who feel great, not sick at all, and they get those positive tests. How is that affecting international travel? We spoke with Stephen Marshall of Glennie Travel earlier this week. Here's just a small clip of that interview here on WBEN.
Yes, for sure. It's a major concern. There is workarounds, however, but with the Omicron, it's now, you know, so contagious. Some people You know, they get it, don't even know that they have it. So then they probably don't get tested. So we do have clients that have been tested positive in destination. The airlines and the resorts are working with the clients to get them, you know, accommodated and home within the 5 days if they're test positive. What we're finding is that the resorts mostly are working with us and the airlines as well. Hopefully most people purchase insurance before they go, and then that would cover their out-of-pocket expenses. Some of the resorts, they're actually letting you stay for free for the extra 5 days until you test negative. But what we're recommending is, as a safety precaution, probably, you know, if you think you might have had COVID, get tested before you go, just to make sure you're negative. Or if you're positive and you're not contagious, then that could be accompanied by a letter from your doctor so you're not stuck somewhere. So that's what we're running into. But it is a growing concern now because of the Omicron being so contagious.
You heard me say to Joe when he told me this story, I was of like two minds of this. I was one, you're driving yourself crazy. Two, if it was my money, I'd be pretty concerned myself. How concerned should you be if you're traveling or planning to travel? I mean, what are you telling people with, you know, what to look out for?
Well, we're advising, okay, first, prior to you leaving, just to protect yourself in case of an emergency or some issue, definitely be covered by insurance. Go over all the protocols before you leave, so you know if the resort's going to work with you. A lot of them advertise that you can stay for free, and the tests that you have before coming home are free. And the airlines, if you have a good travel agent, they'll be your troubleshooter when you're in destination, and then they'll adjust everything to get you home. So basically, just be a conservative attitude and go over all the fine points with your travel agent, because we're going through this every single day now for a long time. So once you're in destination, I think the pros outweigh the cons, because our feedback is, oh my God, I'm glad I went on vacation because I finally felt free. So even though there's the testing that's in the background that you have to take before you come home. So it is a concern, but I think you can protect yourself.
And Steve, in these destinations where most people are going internationally, can you test every day for hoping to get that negative? Or is there a certain number of days you have to stay based on the country?
No. Okay. So in every country is different. That's where before you leave, you need to be aware of that. Generally speaking, you would only get tested once prior to your departure, which is 24 hours prior to your flight home. Nobody is getting tested every day in destination. Unless the island that you're going to or the country that you're traveling to requires you to have a midweek test, but that's a rarity. And if you're, the most common destinations are Jamaica, Punta Cana, and the Mayan Riviera. Mayan Riviera, Punta Cana, they do not have those type of restrictions. It's only the rapid test before you come home.
How often do you hear a story about somebody, getting stuck or going out somewhere, they got the positive test before they can come home, and now they're kind of in limbo?
Okay, so right now it's increasing because of testing positive. It's still the minority, but it is increasing because of the Omicron virus, which is, you know, so contagious. And a lot of people aren't even aware that they have it. So you do have that. It is increasing, full disclosure, but it's still not the common occurrence.
Steve, are you noticing more people testing positive before even taking off? You know, I mean, as you said, with Omicron, we have so many people that are testing positive, aren't even sick. Are you noticing people get to the airport or, you know, a day before getting to the airport, they get that test positive, have to cancel the trip?
Yeah, so the way to protect yourself in that case, I'm not aware that that could be a thing, but it's not, has not really grown. Like, people aren't just being proactive and doing testing randomly, but it might be something like if you're booking a trip, you know, so like in advance, and you might, like, a couple of weeks before, as a safety precaution, you might want to just go into your local pharmacy and get a test just to make sure that, you know, there's not a positive hiding in your system. So, and then if you have the insurance, which we sell as Any Reason Insurance, so you simply call us up and say, Steve, I've got a positive, so we're going to have to use that insurance.
You might have a positive hiding within you. You not even know you're positive, but it might keep you from going on a trip. More about that later in the week, I'm sure of it. When we come back, we're talking with Tim Thielman about the Great Northern Elevator. And then at 11:30, Stephen Sams joining us to talk about his run against Brian Higgins. Another hour of Hardline. Thank you so much for taking part of your Sunday to spend it with me here on WBEN Buffalo.